From the Breslin Center to Little Caesars Arena, we've got the sports opinions that matter to you. From the Driven Collision Studios, we make friends by accident. On the game, 7:30 a.m.
The views and positions expressed in this program are those of the host and do not necessarily reflect the views and positions of the game 7:30 a.m. Some may find the content of this program controversial or offensive.
It's time to play the game.
And they'd be right. Put on your big boy pants and buckle up. This isn't a safe space for weak takes or whining. You can say that this sports radio show is offensive-minded. Call the show at 517-300-4263. Text or call us to the game, 7:30 a.m. app. Message the game, 7:30 a.m. on Facebook.
Guess who's back? Back again.
Beanie's back.
Tell a friend.
Here's your host and professional hellraiser, Beanie Howell.
Welcome aboard. It's Offensive Minded with me, Beanie, here on Lansing's only sports station, The Game, 7:30 a.m. So glad to have you with us here on a Tuesday edition of the program. Let me do some housekeeping before we get started. I got an email, someone asking about a couple of contests. One, the bean counter from Friday, MSU and Rutgers total combined points without going over. I thought we covered that yesterday. I know we contacted the winner, but in case, I guess in case we did forget to announce that, I can do that right now. And the person who was closest without going over was Dale in Lansing. I know we contacted him, so that's the winner from that. And then someone was asking me about the Tigers regular season win total contest. When we did that on air back in like April, right? When the season started, it was late March, really. I thought we announced that one too. Again, I know we contacted the winner, but just in case we did miss that, the winner of that contest was Jake in East Lansing, who predicted the Tigers to win 76 games. Well, they won 78. That was the closest without going over. All right. Cool. Didn't even come down to a tiebreaker. Very good. All right. I want to remind you of all the ways to interact with the program and contribute to our very productive and constructive sports talk discourse. Phone line 517-300-4263. You can always email this program. The address is beanie@wvfnam.com. You can use Facebook, send us a message or post a comment. To find our Facebook page and do that, just search Facebook for The Game 7:30 a.m. or use the free Game 7:30 a.m. app. If you click chat in the main menu, you can send over a free text message. Okay, we'll read all that on air and interact with you that way. It's there all show. All right, now that the table is set, let's dig in. It is rivalry week, despite the general malaise, dejection, dread, or outright apathy most of us in this part of the world and most of us in green and or white feel about this weekend's game. You know, it's such a shame. It's one of the best sports weeks on the calendar. And when you're in this line of work, you're thinking about ideas. You have good ideas planned for it. You have content ready to go months in advance. And then Michigan State doesn't hold up its end of the bargain, and this isn't even going to be fun. So that puts even more pressure on me. I have to manufacture some good content out of this. But here's something that I didn't really plan on, but this kind of fell into my lap. So I'm going to dive in, and this is for everybody. Obviously, you know, I'm talking mostly to State fans, an overwhelming percentage, given where we're located. But this is open to the Blue contingent, too. I would really like to hear from Michigan fans on this one, because this is something that has fascinated me for many years, and I have a news peg that makes it super relevant. I mean, it's always relevant in the rivalry, but there's a news peg to this now that happened yesterday. So here it is. Question. Why doesn't U of M just come out and admit Michigan State is its biggest rival? Why? What's so bad about that? It's always been bizarre to me. Now, I'm on the other side of it, of course. That's why I'm literally asking. Because it is plain as day to me that, make no mistake, MSU is number one on their hate list. Now, like any other Spartan alum or, you know, fan, whatever, I have heard my entire life from Michigan fans that Michigan State is an afterthought. Ohio State is number one. And then Desmond Howard, people like him say Michigan State isn't even top three. Desmond Howard once said on air that it goes Ohio State, Notre Dame, and then even Minnesota is ahead of Michigan State. Okay, well, that just doesn't jibe with reality. And we're going to talk about something else later in the show today. We'll get to that then. Doesn't relate to this. But the same principle is at play. And that's that actions speak louder than words. So I've heard this talking point a long time, as many of you in the green contingent have. State is not Michigan's number one rival. Then why do the fans behave like they are? I cannot reconcile the two things over many years. Now, what do I mean by that? I have a ton of examples. But here's one that just fell into my lap. You know, when you do this job, you have to consume a lot of news. You have to read a lot of content. I'm a big believer your best ideas for new content come from reading other people's content. That's going to stoke your creative flame. But you also have to keep up on the news if you're going to come on here and talk about sports. So can you imagine what I was, imagine what I felt yesterday when I read this? In one of the game preview stories from, I don't know, it doesn't matter. They're all covering it. Virtually every publication who covers U of M has printed this, because yesterday was Jim Harbaugh's weekly press conference, right? It's always on Monday. Okay. Harlan Barnes was too. But they also did a few players yesterday. A couple of players got up at the podium for Michigan, including Blake Corum, Michigan's number one running back, Heisman contender from a year ago. Maybe he is this year too. I don't know. The running game hasn't been as impressive as it was a year ago, but I could also understand it's hard to be engaged with this slate of opponents. A lot of people are, well, at least they were saying until the last 2 or 3 weeks that Michigan had looked not very impressive. I think that has changed. And frankly, that wouldn't concern me if I were a Michigan fan, how they played against the likes of Bowling Green and stuff. It's hard to get up for those games. But anyway, Blake Corum on the podium yesterday. And I'm going to read to you what he said, because I cannot for the life of me find video or sound of this. And I think that's probably by design. I don't think that's a happenstance or coincidence. But listen, I'll just read it. This is from, you can get it in the Yahoo story, any of the TV stories. So the Detroit papers have this, what Corum said yesterday about the rivalry game. Quote, Ohio State, Michigan State and us, it's kind of like, which one's more of a rivalry? You know, sometimes I think it's the in-state one because it's the bragging rights, you know, in the state that you live in, state that you go to school in, you know, for the rest of the year. Well, Blake Corum just said the quiet part out loud. I mean, make no mistake, there is a concentrated, intentional effort on the U of M side to downplay the significance of the rivalry with Michigan State. Now, to many of us on the green side of the equation, it certainly feels like U of M prioritizes us number one on the most loathed list. But again, you don't have to just take it from me or anyone else in green. Your stud running back is saying it, Michigan fans. He came out and said the quiet part out loud. Why then is the fan base so virulently and vehemently opposed to this idea? Why? I mean, I think that's pretty damning. That Blake Corum, a senior leader on this team, said that. I think that's important. That's a big tell. But you don't need that even. I mean, there are myriad instances. I think to me, though, like the best evidence I have that Michigan's number one rival and number one enemy is Michigan State, the best evidence I can point to, I have it like buttoned up in a nice little package for you with a bow on it and everything. I remember back to the glory years of D'Antonio, specifically 13, 14, and 15. And every time Michigan State played Ohio State, Michigan fans who were, you know, suffering through the end of the Rich Rod, or excuse me, the end of the Brady Hoke era, and in 15 were in year one of Harbaugh. Every time State played Ohio State, Michigan fans were very invested in that matchup. And you know who they wanted to win? It wasn't Michigan State, which their logic would dictate. Obviously, when two of your worst enemies play, the first thing you're rooting for is an asteroid or comet to hit the stadium. But seriously, they were rooting for Ohio State to beat Michigan State in all of those instances. Clear. That was clear and evident. Now, I've brought this up with Michigan fans before, and their response to this just further proved my point. I've said this before to Michigan fans in my life, and I've said, listen, I hear you downplay the MSU rivalry all the time, and I hear you denigrate our side of this and say that we're not your number one rival. But when we play Ohio State with something on the line, in football specifically, you guys are rooting for Ohio State. If that's your number one arch enemy, doesn't logic dictate that you would be rooting for whomever's playing them? Like the bumper sticker says, my favorite team is Michigan and whoever's playing Ohio State. Doesn't that mean you should be rooting for Michigan State in that game, especially since you don't consider us your number one enemy? And their response was telling on themselves and they didn't even know it. It went something like this. Well, we couldn't have you guys beat Ohio State when we couldn't. Well, why is that? Is that because, oh, I don't know, you prioritize your rivalry with us over them? Because that's exactly why you're saying that. And by the way, I'm more than happy to take calls, emails, messages, Facebook, whatever, from Michigan fans who want to post me up on this. I know this sounds like a bit, but I'm dead serious. I would love to hear your explanation, your rebuttal, because I have a hard time reconciling what you say with what you do. And actions speak louder than words. But the bigger question I have about it, look, this is decided in my mind. I've seen this for years. My question is, why? Why is it so hard to admit? Like, what happens? What do you think happens if you just admit it? Like, does Schembechler Hall come tumbling down? Does the big house just crumble into dust? What do you think happens if you just admit the obvious truth? Why is it so hard to confront the reality here? I don't get it. Now, to be fair, let me flip this too. I don't get why some Michigan State fans, what's the FCC compliant way to say this? I don't get why some Michigan State fans have such a fix on this. And what I mean is, I know a lot of people who I went to school with or otherwise, Spartan partisans, Spartisans, if you'd like to call them that, who are obsessed with this idea. Like, they need the validation, which that's always irritated me. I don't need that. I could care less where Michigan has us ranked because I know where they have us ranked. Their actions speak louder than their words. Why do I care what they say? Also, you've heard me say this for years on this station because it's come up before. And honestly, I know where the rankings truly are in reality, in those maize and blue heart of hearts. But even if it weren't the case, even if truly Ohio State was the number one rival for them, I don't care. I think that's an advantage to Michigan State. At least it was until the last couple of years. I always liked that their fan base is sold on this idea that they don't value Michigan State, the rivalry, like they do Ohio State. To me, that's an advantage for Michigan State. I've always thought that, and I don't want that to change. But the last couple of years, I think, are evidence that it has. That was always State's biggest advantage. They were going to have the emotional and spiritual edge in this game every year. Doesn't always translate to wins and losses. But when you look at the all-time standings in this series, since 1950, basically since Michigan State joined the Big Ten a few years before that, actually, this is a pretty even rivalry. We've talked about that before, and I can get you the split to go over it again. But it's pretty damn even since 1950. Now, why am I not going back to when it started? Because 44, I think it was like 40 or out of the first 44 games were played in Ann Arbor. Sorry that I don't value that. I also don't value the games where Michigan won like 116-0. The fact that they even kept score against a ragtag group from Michigan State who had never played organized football before. Like, that just doesn't matter to me. But anyway, if you look at the standings since 1950, the winning percentage is 54% for Michigan and 46% for Michigan State since 1950. Now, that's 73 games. That's a huge sample size. So for three quarters of a century, it's been almost even. How can that happen when there have been so many good Michigan teams and so many bad Michigan State games, or Michigan State teams, rather? I'll tell you how. State has an emotional advantage, and the games are not played on paper. That intangible counts, especially in college football. It matters a great deal. That's why I've always relished this. Now, if Michigan keeps saying State's not their number one rival, fine. Keep it coming. I don't want that to change. But there is a good chunk of the MSU fan base that seems to need the validation, which I just don't understand. You're never going to get validation from U of M. Why do you want it? Same way I'm asking the last couple of weeks, why do so many Michigan State fans keep bringing up character and integrity in the football coach? Like that's going to earn you favorable media attention from Detroit. You're never going to get it. So why do you even care anymore? But I digress. But look, man, Michigan State and Ohio State lock horns in those big football games. The blue crowd is pulling for the Buckeyes. Well, I don't think you pull for your arch rival. That's evidence enough for me, but there's a ton of other evidence. How about this? Have you noticed the Michigan-Ohio State rivalry doesn't transcend football? It's only a football thing. Not exactly a huge deal when Michigan and Ohio State meet in hoops or hockey or whatever else. But look what happens when Michigan and Michigan State play in anything. Yeah, it is bitter because it's a bigger rivalry. That's why. And part of that is just plain natural. What Corum said is true. Again, this isn't me editorializing. Your stud Heisman candidate running back said it. Says, feels like the in-state one is the bigger deal. It's the bragging rights. That's the state you live in, to go to school in. That's what he said. Michigan hates Michigan State more by the nature of it, because of proximity. It's closer. Not that Columbus is super far away from Ann Arbor or East Lansing, but the difference is the Michigan-Michigan State rivalry is so much more pervasive. I hate to make light of the Civil War, and that's not what I'm trying to do, but it is the Civil War. It divides family, brother against brother. Thanksgivings can be incredibly tense and awkward because of this. Especially last year's Thanksgiving, after everything that happened in the tunnel at U of M at the Big House. Yeah, it just transcends more. It transcends football. The Michigan-Michigan State basketball and hockey games are huge. Meanwhile, when Michigan and Ohio State meet in either of those sports, it's just another game. But even more than that, it transcends sports. The Michigan-Michigan State rivalry follows you to work. It follows you to the gym. It follows you to the bar. It follows you to Thanksgiving dinner. It follows you to family reunions. It follows you to church. You have to share a world with the other side of it. The whole world, your entire world, is compromised by the other side when you're in the Michigan-Michigan State rivalry. When you lose the football game, or whatever it may be, because again, it's bigger than just football, unlike the Ohio State-Michigan rivalry. But when you lose the Michigan-Michigan State game, you got to deal with that in every facet of your life. You have to deal with it at the office, where your coworker who's on the other side wants to twist the knife for the next 364 days or whatever it may be. It follows you home if your house is divided. I know people who have the, you know, split marriage thing, which you're going to think I'm joking. I just don't know how that works. I could never do that. I just wouldn't be able to tolerate it. And to be fair, she wouldn't be able to tolerate me when it was going my way. But there are people who have kids that are on the other side of this thing. Man, when you lose the Michigan-Michigan State game, it's a problem. It's pervasive in your life. It pervades every part and every aspect of your life. When Michigan loses the Ohio State game, yeah, it sucks. You don't want to lose that game, but you get a reprieve from it. The next day, the morning after, when you go to church, there aren't Buckeyes there. On Monday, when you get to the office, there's not some smug-looking jackass at the water cooler getting ready to rub your face in it. And for damn sure, as a Michigan fan, when you lose the Ohio State game, you don't have to deal with your spouse or kid or in-laws making your life a living hell for the next 364 days. I'm sure there are some people who do experience that, but it's not nearly as prevalent as it is on the Michigan-Michigan State rivalry. So why not just admit it? I think I have it figured out. Here's my theory. And again, I would welcome anyone, blue or green, to post me up and tell me I'm wrong on this. But I'm, like I often invoke, I'm a big believer in the Occam's razor principle, which basically says that the simplest solution is often the correct one. So why, despite the evidence of actions which speak louder than words, why despite that do Michigan fans continue to say Michigan State is not its number one rival, that Ohio State is far and away more important? Well, I'll tell you why. Because Michigan's entire stance with regard to Michigan State, dating back to Michigan State's inception in 1855, has been one based on delegitimization, if I could say that right. Michigan as an institution does not want to recognize Michigan State. They do not want to lend credibility to them. This has been happening at every step of MSU's development as an institution, and it's just bled right over into everything else with sports. I mean, every step of the way, from when this thing started, when the Morrill Act was passed by the federal government and the funds were being dispersed in the state of Michigan to set up a land-grant school that was based on agriculture, an ag school. The legislation specifically called for creating a brand new school that was all about that. Michigan fought it, tried to get the funding themselves to open up the ag school as part of, under the U of M umbrella. It started then. That hasn't changed. And we all know the big milestones, you know, state trying to get into the Big Ten. Michigan fought that tooth and nail every step of the way. And when they eventually got in, Michigan actually did vote yes, finally, on the final, you know, the final vote to get Michigan State into the Big Ten. They did. But if you go back and read why, the way it worked back then was there was a faculty representative for each school. And they represented the school's interests. The one for U of M wrote in a letter, which has been kept for posterity, and you can find it. He wrote explaining why Michigan was voting to admit Michigan State after opposing it for so long. And they said, the reason Michigan accepts MSU into the Big Ten is so that we can better keep an eye on her. You can go look it up. That's a direct quote. Not making that up. That's why. It all dates back to that. It's all around the same thing. And that's, frankly, why the Michigan-Michigan State rivalry is so much more toxic, bitter, hotly contested, and, frankly, more important than the Michigan-Ohio State rivalry. They just don't want to admit it, which is, I used to think, good. That's good for Michigan State. Gives us an advantage. Well, not so much anymore. Not the last couple of years. Michigan has taken it more seriously and more personally in football. And all it took was State whooping their ass for what? Something like 10 out of 13 or whatever. It was 7 out of 8 at one point. It got their attention. I just want to know, to the Michigan people out there, are you ready to admit it? Again, don't take my word for it. Blake Corum said it. He said the quiet part out loud. You can weigh in on that. And, you know, anyone can, not just Michigan fans. I know there are a lot of you listening, your skin's crawling right now. Well, okay. Tell me why I'm wrong. If you got the balls, go ahead. I'll give you an open pot here. You can go ahead and state your case. I would love to hear why I'm wrong. Because I hear that all the time, you know, out in life. I don't know, man. Actions speak louder than words, and there are some really loud actions that have been going on for a while. You can weigh in on that. 517-300-4263 is the phone number. Use the email address to beanie@wvfnam.com. Use Facebook, send a comment or post a comment or send a message. Search Facebook for the Game 730 AM to do that. You can use the free Game 730 AM app. Click chat in the main menu, sends over a free text to us, okay? And if you don't have the app, just search the Apple App Store or Google Play for the Game 730 AM. It's free, downloads in a matter of seconds, and there you go. You have it in the palm of your hand. You can take us with you on the go with Listen Live and all of our content, podcasts, have, you know, enable notifications and have earlier access to promotions and stuff like that, okay? And look, I'm welcoming posting up on this because I'm interested in hearing how you can debate me on that. It's hard for me to see. And that doesn't mean you can't, because a lot of people have. I just fail to see a compelling case proving me wrong on that. But also, I'll be honest with you. Look, as a broadcaster in this state, especially on sports radio, you really look forward to this week. It's one of the best weeks on the sports talk radio calendar. But again, Michigan State hasn't held up its end of the bargain for two straight years. So it kind of puts a damper on it, which sucks. So we got to take our victories where we can get them. And this might be one. This could be fun to talk about. I know it's one of the hotter topics out there year in, year out. Go ahead. It's out there for you. I do want to get into something else from the U of M perspective. I really need help on this one. I'll do that on the other side, but that we'll get to that then. Other stuff I want to get to today. You know, the Urban Meyer comments that broke late in the show yesterday, I didn't have enough time to spend on those. I do now. I will do that at some point today, and I have the full comments now. I only had a snippet when this broke yesterday toward the end of the program. We can get back into that because I think there's, you know, there's some meat on that bone. There's something we need to talk about there, too. All right, let me hit pause. We'll go to break and come back and dig right back in. It's Offensive Minded. I'm Beanie. This is The Game, 7:30 a.m. We're back after these words.
Get your Detroit Lions pregame fix all season with nachos and kneecaps. The Lansing area's very own local Detroit Lions tailgate show. Presented by Momentum Health Center in Mason. Join yours truly, Beanie, from Offensive Minded on The Game, 7:30 a.m. and Brock Palmbush every week about 2 hours before kickoff. We cover all the Lions angles, player availability, matchups, outrageous Dan Campbell in-game decisions and audio, local ski mask sales, and everything else. Nachos and kneecaps, presented by Momentum Health Center in Mason, is also brought to you by Miller Lite. On Classic Rock 94.9 MMQ and The Game, 7:30 a.m.
Not afraid to be wrong,
but he's typically right.
Beanie Howell on The Game, 7:30 a.m.
And we're back. Okay, look, Michigan fans are adamant that MSU is not their number one rival. That's a big talking point in this rivalry every year, has been since as long as I can remember. I'm 35. Just doesn't jibe. I can't reconcile it with their actions, you know? I remember all those big games the D'Antonio era Spartans had against Ohio State, and Michigan fans were rooting for OSU. That's weird. You know, actions don't match their words. What do you think about that? I'd love to hear from the blue crowd. 517-342-63. Here's one. Troy in Union City wants to talk about that. Hi, Troy.
Hi, how's it going?
I'm good, man. Now, you're a Michigan fan, and you want to post me up, so the floor is yours.
Okay, I guess my biggest argument, especially of late, is, like, the Michigan-Ohio State game, it's the road to the playoffs. I mean, we could lose to you guys Saturday and beat Ohio State and make the playoffs. You know, it just, that game means everything as far as national championship aspect is concerned. And to me, it's kind of a talent level, like, to where it seems like to me, as far as recruiting, we usually out-recruit Michigan State. And with Ohio State, we're battling with them for recruits every single year for all the different skill positions.
Well, okay, so when's the last time Michigan had a better recruiting class than Ohio State? I can't remember that happening. So I feel like it's what you're describing Michigan State as, which, by the way, you're right. Like, State never has a better recruiting class than Michigan. But also, Michigan never has a better recruiting class than Ohio State, and that doesn't diminish that rivalry, right? But I get what you're saying. I think we're talking about two different things, though. What you're saying... is the Michigan-Ohio State game is the more important football game. And I think you're 100% correct based on the timing of it and, like, what you just alluded to. You know, it's basically a playoff elimination game except for last year. Although, let me ask you this, Troy. Don't you think if Michigan runs out to 11-0 and loses a close one to Ohio State, they're still going to make the playoff?
I'm not sold on that. Like, last year when Ohio State still got in, I truly believe if Michigan loses, they would not have been in the playoffs. I mean, it seems like everybody's got Ohio State being higher up there no matter what Michigan does to them, because I thought after we beat the heck out of them at Ohio State, like, how the heck did they make the playoffs?
Well, I'm with you on that. I thought that was BS, too.
I mean, if they beat the brakes off us like that, I don't expect us to be in the playoffs.
By the way, you know, I talked about that last year when that happened, and I was totally right there with you. Like, I think that's a terrible message to send. You know, that's not fair. It really diminished what Michigan accomplished. It basically said that didn't matter. And I don't like that. But part of it is the context, right? Like there wasn't a one loss Pac-12 team to come in and take that spot, you know, because USC lost twice and then embarrassingly lost their bowl game too. Well, I mean, they lost their Pac-12 title game.
And the way Ohio State held their own with Georgia, I think they proved that, okay, maybe they do belong there, but just, I don't think you should lose your last game of the regular season and make the playoffs. It just, I don't know.
You know what, though? That's about to change after this year for sure when 12 get in.
It definitely
And that's going to diminish the Michigan-Ohio State game, don't you think? Because it won't be an elimination game anymore.
Yeah, and the way it's been panned out, usually at the end of the year, it's Michigan-Ohio State, and you can't have them play back-to-back weeks. So I think they're going to eventually move that game to be more in the middle of the season. And
okay, so what happens then? There goes the argument that you're using to make that the more important rivalry. Well, let's say that happens, then what changes?
You can't do back-to-back games. I mean, just the potential of that, but I don't know. I know a lot of the alumni don't want to touch it and leave the game where it is, but
sure.
I don't know. We got so many people coming to the Big Ten that, you know, Ohio State, Michigan might not be the big dogs after a while. Who knows?
It might not be, but also, like, it'll just be the next thing we lose. Like, the conference expansion has eroded a lot of tradition, and I suspect that the tradition of Michigan-Ohio State being the last regular season game will be something that falls victim to that, too. But they're still going to play every year, at least. That will for sure happen. Last thing I wanted for you, Troy. So you're a Michigan fan, and you're saying Ohio State is the more important rivalry. Then how come it doesn't transcend to other sports? Like, can't you admit that? Like, the basketball games are not the same. The hockey games are not the same. It's really a football-only thing.
Yeah, I will definitely give you that. I mean, for basketball, I mean, I don't really care too much about how Michigan does. I'll watch, but it's not a big deal if we lose to you guys or Ohio State. I just, you know, okay. I think Michigan's been a football school, and I mean, you know, hey, I hope they do good at basketball, but I'm usually not counting
it. Gotcha. Well, I appreciate your call, Troy, and I think that the National Congressional Library should preserve this call as evidence that there's no excuse for Democrats and Republicans for not getting along, because look at the progress you and I just made.
Yep, exactly.
Thanks, Troy. And hey, we appreciate you listening down there in Union City.
And hey, I hope it's a good game and, you know, some good action, and just who knows? You never know what's going to happen. So,
well, you have a shinier outlook than me, but thanks for the call. Thanks for the call, nonetheless, Troy. I think you're going to have a very good time on Saturday, and I will have to self-medicate for several days to get over it. Keep right on rolling here. Here's True Blue. You want to weigh in on this, man? Long time no talk.
Not a problem, Beanie. I've been trying to get in through a couple weeks, but I haven't had a chance to. I have to agree with what he said, and what I have to agree with what you said. It made total sense in terms of, I think it probably is more of a football thing than any other sport. But when I will have to say, I'll come back to what he said just before you got off the phone. I would say that I would think that Michigan State, for you talk about overall, like, it's more of a rivalry for us, for Ohio State, than Michigan State. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I'm saying, well, my position is that Michigan fans hate Michigan State more than they hate Ohio State.
Okay, I hate State, but I despise Ohio State, so I think I still have Ohio State. I hate them a lot more than I do Michigan State. So when those two play, I don't root for either team. I can't. And whoever wins, wins. That's my outlook. That's how I look at it. The only time I've ever rooted for State or Ohio State is when we actually need them to, whether it's football or any other sport where it's going to benefit, obviously, your own school. I think most fans would say they would do that, correct? I mean, if you needed one of us to get beat by the other team, you're going to go, well, I hope they do lose, or I hope they do win this one, so it helps us out.
Well, that's what a rational person would do, right? Like, I would feel the same way, but there are people who don't. Mark D'Antonio, for all he did here, like, I remember one time State, you know, had tied for the Big Ten. They beat Ohio or Penn State at the last game, and they needed Michigan to beat Ohio State to have the sole Big Ten championship. And they asked him.
Yeah, I do remember that.
They asked him on the field, oh, who are you rooting for? And he said, go Bucks. And that, look, I get it. You're the coach at Michigan State. You can't say flattering things about U of M. Fine, whatever. But it's okay to want to serve your best interest. That drove me nuts, and it still does. That's just silly.
Yeah, that was an odd thing, because the only thing I can think of is why he said that, because he coached there.
I'm sure that's part of it, but also I don't think he would be excommunicated and wouldn't be invited, you know, to Columbus for the next reunion of the 2002 national championship team if he said, yeah, I'd like Michigan to beat them today, so I win a Big Ten title.
Right.
How dumb, man. That was like 15 years ago. I'm still pissed about it. But anyway, go on.
And then the other thing that I did not like what he said when he said, I hope it's a good game. Did I hear him say that?
Yeah, I think he's just, we had a nice interaction, which is rare for this rivalry.
I never wanted to see a nice game. I want to pound you until next year. That's how bad I want to pound you guys.
I understand. I would expect nothing less. I think that's okay.
But I'm a realist too, and I'm smart to know that there's a couple things that were factors that I did not like. One, that changed the game to a night game. That doesn't bode well for us anytime you play a rivalry game at night, because the players, the teams, everybody's more jacked up in a night national game than you are at a 12 o'clock game. Now, that being said, I think with State losing, I think that hurt them to lose that game to Rutgers going into this Saturday's game, because that's a lot less confident that they're going to come into this game thinking we got a better chance if they would have beat Rutgers and just pounded them out, beat them 35-6.
Well, I can see why you would feel that way, but let me run this by you, because I'm under no false pretense. I think this is going to be a massacre. And frankly, between you and me, because no one else can hear this conversation right now, right? I hope it is, because I want Michigan State's brass to have to account for this so that maybe they can get it through their heads that they need to get their act together with the next guy. But anyway, I digress. My point is, I get what you're saying. Yes, a night game for the home team in a rivalry game is significant. But let me tell you, man, whatever extra juice that gives Michigan State, that's going to be gone as soon as State runs out onto the field. And here's why. They're going to run out all jacked up for this game, right? It's probably the last big game they have left. They're going to run out. Night game, you know, big hype for the rivalry game, bad blood from what happened last year. They're going to get out on their home field and see a stadium that is half Michigan fans. And that is going to immediately deject them and suck all of that good juju out.
You know what? That you might be right. I don't know if it would be half, but I think it'll probably be maybe 30% or 35% of Michigan people buying, especially, I mean, because Lansing area has a lot of Michigan alumni in this area, so they would scarf up those tickets with people who don't want them. So I do say that's probably a good call. But here's another thing to think about, knock on wood for a Michigan fan. You know what the weather report is for Saturday night?
Yeah, do you think that's significant?
Well, why wouldn't it? Come on.
I don't know.
The last time I almost didn't talk to somebody for a year after that.
I'm the kind of
person that the game's not over till 0-0-0. And when I was watching that game, the game in the rain at night, and we were about to punt, and we're half full State fans, Michigan fans, and I looked at them, I said, this game is not over yet. And they looked at me like I was crazy.
Now, you're talking about the trouble with the snap year?
Yeah.
But it wasn't
raining in the rain.
No, it wasn't raining that year.
Yes, it was.
Man, I was there. It wasn't raining. You're thinking the 2017 game was the one in the
rain.
I'm sure I was there. 2017 was the rain game where State won like 10-7 or what. It was really low scoring.
Okay. You're right. Yeah.
But I get what you're saying.
Yeah,
like, yes,
I was thinking it was raining that day, that it was cold, it was nasty, dreary.
Yes. But you know what?
Yeah, so.
I think, you're right, it's supposed to rain. But I think that favors Michigan, Because Michigan's better at running the ball. Well, they're better at everything. Let's be real. They're better at everything. Yeah. So if it's going to be nasty, Michigan will just say, fine, we'll just run the ball on you to death because you sure as hell can't stop it. And State's going to have to run the ball nonstop. Yeah, that won't go well. The only, you know what, I do hope that happens because then the game's over faster by virtue of the clock not stopping.
Yeah, I think you're right. I mean, to me, the key is always turnovers. And I think if Michigan doesn't turn the ball over, I think they'll win the game. Now, that being said, I mean, you saw what happened with Indiana and Minnesota, or it was not Minnesota, Indiana. And I think the other game that we were behind, we turned the ball over.
Yeah, Bowling Green, turned it over a few times,
Right. You can't do that on the road, and that's where if you let a team stay in there by halftime, 10-7, 10-10, 13-10, that's when players and teams get tight on the road to go, oh, crap, we can't make another mistake. So your mentality changes, and that's why people go, well, how come there's upset? Well, that's why.
Well, let me ask you plainly. Are you worried about this? Are you worried about this game?
Beanie, I am worried every time we play our rivals, always. And I never get too cocky because of that factor. Now, do I think we have a better team? Yeah, I would say yes. But I've never come out and say, yeah, we're going to beat you by this much or we're going to beat. No, I never say that. I always wait till the game, let it play out.
I'm going to address the elephant in the room. I'll just tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to psychoanalyze you. I think you're scared because D'Antonio's on the sideline. I think if he hadn't been back, you would.
It doesn't matter. If he's on the sideline. I really don't care about that.
Okay. Well, then I don't know what your deal is, man. You should be supremely confident. Instead, you're talking to me like your team is the one who's coached.
Supremely confident. Now, I think we're going to win the game. I really do believe that. I think we're a better team. But there's been a lot of crazy stuff that happens over the years. With this rivalry.
So you definitely aren't laying the 23.5 then. You won't do that?
Oh, no way. Nope.
All right. I'm not posting you up. It's fascinating to me.
That's okay. You can.
I'm not interested in that with this. I've heard from a lot of you guys who have the same take. Like you're nervous and apprehensive about this.
Always.
Well, I get, it's a rivalry game, but also, dude, Michigan State is a bad football team before anything else. Really, really bad. And
yeah, I know they're not good. It's like you said, it just comes down to plays and
That's another thing. The guys calling the shots are so incompetent. Like Kuytenhauser, he's got an excuse. This will be a second ever start. But the guys who are supposed to be in charge of this thing, the men, the veterans on the coaching staff, they do not put these guys in positions to succeed. And if they couldn't do that against the likes of Rutgers and Maryland and godforsaken Iowa, how the hell are they going to do it against maybe the most complete team in the nation and a definite national championship contender? Like, I get it. Like, the hype and energy of a rivalry game can be the difference. But this is more than a difference. Like, this would require a brand new team running out of the tunnel in green uniforms.
But I tell you what, as a fan and as being a Michigan fan or a State fan, watching a game, I watched both those games on Saturday, man. And I shut the game off. It was so brutal. I kept telling my wife, I said, my gosh, they just keep turning the ball over, both of them, and making mistakes. And I just said, this is a bad game. And they were up 24-6. And I looked at my wife, I said, man, I think State's going to win this game. And then I sat down, I go, unless they pull a State. And I shut the TV off. And I had friends, we have guys in a group chat that are both State and Michigan, and one person says clank, another person says that smells terrible. I go, yeah, what are they talking about? And my son calls me and tells me, did you watch the game? I go, no, I shut it off. So I was shocked. I think a lot has to do with, like you said, to put them in the position to win. I mean, I still think State was probably a better team overall.
Me too.
Like I said, didn't make the plays.
Right. All right, man. Well, thanks for calling in. Good to hear from you.
All right, have a good one.
You too. I'll go to Joe in Lansing. He's been waiting. Hi, Joe.
Hey, what's going on? Now, as far as rivalry games, it is a rivalry game because if you were to take, like, say, ask five players out of each basketball, football, and hockey, and ask five of them, and you'd ask them what the rivalry was, they would say Michigan. They would definitely say Michigan. It's not. It's a rivalry game.
Hold on. You mean the Michigan's? Who would say
Michigan,
that?
like if you were like you were saying about rivalry games, you don't think it's a rivalry game? Is that what you're saying?
Well, I'm saying Michigan fans will tell you Ohio State's the biggest rival, and I just feel like most of their actions indicate otherwise. And now Blake Corum's out there saying that Michigan State is the bigger one. That's what he said yesterday. You can look it up. I'm saying I don't believe that. I don't believe what Michigan fans say, that Ohio State's the bigger rival based on their behavior and their actions, and the fact that the Ohio State rivalry ends once the football game is over. The one with Michigan State never ends.
Yeah, there's always talk about that. I'd lay the 23.5. I mean, they're that bad of a football team, and they've proved it to me.
We'll talk about it more gambling-wise when we get closer to the end of the week, but I hinted at it a little bit yesterday. Generally, these point spreads in this game when State is bad are ridiculous, because State just does not lose by like 3+ scores to Michigan all that often. But I'm leaning your way. Like, I feel like the wheels are going to come off.
Didn't it start at like 21? I thought I looked at it yesterday and I was at 21, and then I went up to 23.
Hold on, I'll look it up. I think it got up to 24.5 now, but go ahead. Anything else?
It's going to be the first quarter, probably be close, you know, just like Michigan. But I mean, Michigan is their football team is like really, and they got actually with Georgia, what's the tight end that went out?
Brock Bowers. Yeah.
Brock Bowers. That's going to, you know, and they haven't really been, in that game this past weekend was relatively close. I think the last two games are relatively close. They haven't really dominated anybody.
Oh, what? No, they dominated Kentucky. Win. Georgia did.
Okay.
They beat them like 52 to 10 or something like that. But you're right. Okay, they've had close, shaky games with some other teams. You're right.
Yeah, and, you know, it's their defense. I mean, their defense has been, for the last 3 years, their defense has been, they don't allow, you know, I mean, they barely allow 20 points a game. And when you got a defense like that, that's a recipe for, you know, a good football team, you know. And this guy going out, when do they play Alabama?
They don't, unless it's the title game.
Unless it's the title game.
Which doesn't look likely.
Yeah, because Alabama looks like they're not really the Alabama of old either. They're kind of just narrowly scraping by.
I guess it could happen, but and also, you know, Brock Bowers' injury has changed the betting lines. Michigan is now the odds-on favorite to win the national championship since that injury.
Yeah, and that sounds about right. And you know, and Ohio, you know, and even I'm a State fan. But when the Ohio State Michigan game is a game to watch. But like you said, it's going to change.
Yeah.
Once we get all these teams in the Big Ten,
right?
You know, there's going to be almost 20 teams, and it's not going to have its luster. It's not. It's just
right. It won't and have that's its not. Luster. That's just a that's a byproduct of the conference expansion, which has basically ruined tradition. And that'll be the next thing. It'll just be the latest thing when it happens. You know.
Yeah. So
I got this for you. The line is up to 24.5. It opened at 23.5, but some books had it as a look ahead line a few weeks ago. Those were at 19.5, but now up to 24.5. Would you still lay that?
Yeah.
All right.
I'd lay that.
Yep. Hey, I'm not going to hate on that. I think State is awful and Michigan is uber complete. So thanks for the call, man.
Thanks.
I'll do one more. Is this Adam? Adam, you're on the air.
How you doing?
Adam, where are you calling from?
Call from Lansing.
All right, Adam, go ahead. The floor is yours.
So here's my thought on the rivalry situation. I think that OSU is definitely the bigger rival. However, I think the reason Michigan fans are scared, and these are kind of both the same thing, is the recency bias. And that's because there is simply more at stake losing this game to MSU. If we lose this game to MSU and fall down in the rankings, tumbling down to 10, 11, 12, you know, range, with given how bad Michigan State is this year, frankly, then it's more difficult to get into a playoff scenario, even potentially beating Ohio State. I mean, that might catapult us at the end of the year. And then obviously if we won the Big Ten championship game after that, then obviously that bolsters those expectations. However, there is a lot more at stake with losing this game.
Yeah, it's a bad loss. It would be a bad loss, right? Losing to Ohio State would not be bad. I get what you're saying.
No.
So, which one would you?
Reasonable.
You know what? That's interesting, because I've heard Michigan fans say they, if they have to lose one, they'd rather lose to State because then they have basically half a season to recover and build back up toward the top of the polls to get in, you know, to get a college football playoff berth. But you're saying no, you would rather win the State game if you have to choose.
At this time, yeah, and it is a timing issue, I think, because the OSU game, if we lose that game, then there is the potential to rebound. And, hey, it's a good loss. You know, potentially if someone else loses in the top four, then there's a chance to creep back in, or, you know, just with points, the way they have the point system and things and the voters, then there's potential to still creep back into the playoff.
Right.
But MSU, it's a bigger hole to dig out of. And then you've got that nasty loss on your record. And, you know, it's a little bit, not that it's more difficult for them to get up for the Ohio State game, but it's a lot lost your expectations in a game where you've already lost to a terrible team.
Yeah, I get that. That makes sense to me. And also, you know, last year, Ohio State was able to afford losing to Michigan and still getting in, which I thought was total BS. It totally invalidated what Michigan did, which I don't like, because if I were Michigan, I would be super pissed about that. Or if that were my team, I'd be like, what the hell did we play that game for? It didn't mean anything. But this year, it doesn't look like that's going to be a possibility for whoever loses that game if they're both undefeated, because it looks like the Pac-12 is going to hold up its end of the bargain because Washington looks legit. Now, they could still lose. There's lots of tough games left. But I have a feeling someone is going to emerge from the Pac-12 in the playoff this year.
I always feel that way, but then it always kind of goes that, like, sort of PlayStation football, the way that Big 12 does, and someone always beats somebody in the last second in the Pac-12, and someone's always legit until they're not. Remember how legit USC was last week?
Mm-hmm. Well, right? I mean, right? I picked Notre Dame because I know their defense is terrible at SC, but I get what you're saying.
Yeah.
I look at Washington's schedule. So, you know, they have to go to SC, they get Utah at Seattle, and then they have to go to Oregon State, and that's a landmine. No one talks about that, but going to Oregon State is a bitch. And here's the thing.
Ask Oregon.
So they already beat them in Seattle, right? But here's the thing. Right. I'm glad you mentioned that. Because even if Washington takes care of business and goes 12-0, they probably have to play Oregon again in the Pac-12 title game, right? Because it's a top two records go, no division stuff.
Correct. And live and learn from last time, potentially, right?
Exactly. So with Texas and Oklahoma last week, I picked Texas. Texas lost on a heartbreaker, and I get that sucks for them. But if I were them, I'd be thinking, well, if we have to lose one of these, it's this one because we're going to get another crack at them, right?
Absolutely. And, I mean, while I love the rivalries with Michigan and Michigan State, rather, and Ohio State, it's wonderful. I'm certainly glad that we don't have to play them potentially twice in a championship.
No kidding. Yeah. Thanks for the call, Adam. I appreciate it. I got to leave it there because I'm up against it. Good calls, guys. Appreciate it. Let me go to break, come back, and we'll kind of reset it, and I can get more into the Urban Meyer thing. We didn't have enough time to do that yesterday, but I think there's something interesting there to talk about. Okay? It's Offensive Minded. I'm Beanie. This is The Game, 7:30 a.m.
It's the Whitelaw PLLC Tailgate Show on the Lansing Sports Network, The Big Talker, 1240 WJIM, and Classic Rock 94.9 MMQ, a tradition in Lansing for over 20 years. With your hosts, the Dean of Sports, Tim Stout, and offensive-minded host, Beanie Howell. Powered by Whitelaw PLLC, Doubting Industries, Chupin & Sons Recycling Industrial Services, Gravity Smokehouse, and Chandler's Top Shelf. This is the Whitelaw PLLC Tailgate Show. VFN. East Lansing, a Town Square media station. Game, 7:30 a.m. Lansing's only sports station. Gat 11%. From Comerica Park to Jackson Field, we've got the sports opinions that matter to you. From the Driven Collision Studios, we make friends by accident. On the Game, 7:30 a.m.
All right, we're back. It's Offensive Minded with me, Beanie, here on the Game, 7:30 a.m. Topic I led with today. Why are Michigan fans so adamant that Michigan State is not their number one rival? Hard for me to reconcile that with their actions. Specifically, well, what Blake Corum said. You want to go check that out. He said it himself. I'll read you his comment here again, just for those of you just joining us. This was at media availability yesterday in Ann Arbor when he was talking about the rivalry, yada, yada, yada. He says, Ohio State, Michigan, Michigan State and us, it's kind of like, which one's more of a rivalry? You know, sometimes I think it's the in-state one because it's the bragging rights in the state that you live in, state that you go to school in for the rest of the year. Well, he said the quiet part out loud. But for me, I didn't need that, although that, I think that's pretty damning. I just think back to all those huge Michigan State-Ohio State games in the glory run for D'Antonio. And I remember Michigan fans passionately rooting for Ohio State. Well, that's not something you do. You can't root for your arch rival. But they did. Or did they? It's out there for you. I've gotten calls from a few Michigan fans I thought were pretty good. I liked the points they made. If you missed those, check it out in the podcast. We podcast each episode of Offensive Minded in its entirety. It's available about 10 minutes off after we go off air every day. You can find those full podcast episodes of Offensive Minded wherever you get your podcasts for free. Just search Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Podcasts, whatever it is. Just search for Offensive Minded. You'll see them there. That's still fair game for you. Okay, that's out there. Go ahead. Here are all the ways you can weigh in on that topic. And you, not just if you're blue and not just if you're green. It's for everybody. 517-300-4263. Email the show, beanie@wvfnam.com. Use Facebook. Send us a message or post a comment. Find us there by searching Facebook for The Game 730 AM. Or use the free Game 730 AM app. Click chat in the main menu to send over a free message to us. Here's one from Bucky in Langsburg. He says, Beanie, I would love to call and tell you this, but I'm in my tree stand. Everyone loves Mark D'Antonio and what he did for MSU, but the timing and way he left put the university in a terrible position to rush to find a coach. He put us in a bad spot. He's one of MSU's greatest coaches who screwed us. So thanks for the message, Bucky, and thanks for listening while you're out there in the blind. Good luck. Let us know if you bag a good one. You can send over pictures in the free Game 730 AM app, too, if you get one. Let me know. By the way, firearm hunting season, like what, 4 weeks away? Also, 4 weeks from today, if you're a suffering MSU fan, don't worry. 4 weeks from today is Michigan State versus Duke in the Champions Classic. Anyway, so, Bucky, if you've been listening to the show all year, the theme of Offensive Minded in 2023 has been both things can be true. And in this case, you calling out Mark D'Antonio for the way he left Michigan State so abruptly and so late in the offseason, giving them so little time to conduct a proper search, put Michigan State in a bad position, and that's part of why they ended up with a coach who clearly wasn't vetted well enough. And that's why we're in the position we're in right now. I believe that is true. But what else is true is that no one forced Michigan State to put into Mark D'Antonio's contract a clause that says if you are still the head coach on February 1st, 2020, you will earn a one-time $4.5 million bonus. They didn't have to put that in there, but they did. No one made them do that. They should have had the foresight to know that the guy would want that and could possibly wait till that date, then retire to get the one-time $4.5 million bag and retire. Peace out. They should have known that was a distinct possibility. That was dumb to put in there. And by the way, look, you can feel about that however you want. I'll just tell you my take, to be fair. I don't blame D'Antonio one iota. I would have done the same damn thing. But as far as I'm concerned, that money was already his. He earned every cent. He did not extort Michigan State for more money. He never threatened to leave. In fact, when other schools called, like allegedly Texas, he turned down the interviews. D'Antonio's biggest fault was that he was way too loyal. That's why he kept a bunch of bums on staff forever. It's part of why the latter years were so disappointing and didn't end well. But here's one way it benefited Michigan State. He never demanded more money. The most critical he got was he wanted more money for his staff, for his assistant pool, to keep guys. That was about it. He never threatened them to leave, if not getting a better deal, and he never flirted with other jobs. D'Antonio earned every cent. He earned it. Oh, by the way, on top of, you know, being loyal to Michigan State, he did deliver some pretty great years to Michigan State football. the likes of which hadn't been seen in a generation at that school. So as far as I'm concerned, that money was his. There's some rumblings out there at the time that some people wanted to honor that bonus earlier so that he could collect it at the end of the 2019 season. And there's some rumblings that some people at Michigan State opposed that. Well, then, just the latest example of Michigan State's leadership being complete bumble bleeps and shooting themselves in their own foot. Why would you ever put a clause in a coach's contract that he gets a $4.5 million bag of money if he's still the head coach on February 1st? That's a terrible time to do it. How about December 1st? They put themselves in that position, man. That was a bad call. That was stupid. And you know what? It's just a contract. They can rip it up and rewrite it anytime they want. They could have done this. End of the 2019 season, they won that, I think it was the Pinstripe Bowl, right, against Wake Forest, ironically against Kenneth Walker III. He could have, you know, Michigan State could have said, you know what, Mark, you don't have to wait till February 1st. Here's that bonus now. And you do go ahead and decide what you want to do for your future here in the next week. They could have done that in December. They didn't. That's on them. I don't blame D'Antonio for that one bit. I don't got a problem if you do. But also keep in mind that despite the horrible timing, keep in mind that D'Antonio did that because he knew who his handpicked successor was going to be. He knew it was supposed to be Luke Fickell. And, you know, you can believe what you want on that. But look, the real version of events goes something like this. Michigan State had Luke Fickell pretty much wrapped up. They were taking care of the legalities and details. But then, oh, what do you know? This godforsaken bane of the MSU existence, known as the Board of Trustees, got involved, meddled, and screwed it all up. So even though D'Antonio, in some people's eyes, did the selfish act of just staying on long enough to collect the $4.5 million bonus, it wasn't without a plan in place. He was under the impression they were going to go and get Luke Fickell. And by the way, they were well on their way to doing it. It was all but signed and sealed and delivered. It was as close to being finalized as it could have been until the Board of Trustees decided to be the Board of Trustees and screwed it all up. And that's how you wind up with a coach that you didn't vet properly who winds up bringing the whole thing down in flames. In massive scandal and just completely burning the program down around him. That's how you wind up in that situation. I just don't blame D'Antonio. If you do, Bucky and anyone else, hey, go ahead. Cool by me. I'm just telling you, I think there's more to it than, well, I know there's more to what happened that the public knows about. Just keep that in mind. Okay. 517-342-63. Go out to the phone lines for Aaron at Olivet University. Hi, Aaron. What's up?
Hello. So you're talking about Mark D'Antonio, and how many guys actually took the Michigan State rivalry seriously like he did?
Yeah, good question. He's the reason it turned around, isn't he?
Yes. And how many guys are actually that loyal to their program?
Right. I'm with you. That's why I get why people feel that way. I just don't blame him for how things went down.
No. I mean, the guy earned the money. I mean,
he really did. No kidding.
It's hard to deny that.
Yeah.
Because he put three of the best years together that anybody will ever put together.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I'm with you. Anything else? You got anything? Any other topics you want to hit on?
Nothing besides go Phillies, and that's it.
All right, Aaron. Appreciate the call, man. Good to hear from you. Hope school is going well down there at Olivet College. Friend of the show, Aaron, formerly of Eaton Rapids, on his way to becoming a sports broadcaster. Told us yesterday he just called a high school football game. You called your first game before I did, man. So you're ahead of schedule. By the way, the Phillies to took a 1-0 lead in the series against the NLCS against the Diamondbacks last night, while the Texas Rangers stole the first two games in the ALCS on the road against Houston. Keep an eye on that. I would enjoy a Rangers-Phillies World Series. I just don't want a repeat of Astros-Phillies like last year. Okay, let me see. I got time to do this now. All right, so yesterday, it was about this time, maybe a little bit later, we're wrapping up the show, when the news broke that Urban Meyer had addressed a potential return to coaching while speaking at the Knoxville Quarterback Club in Knoxville, Tennessee, whatever the hell that is. I think it's some kind of booster club for Tennessee. Anyway, I got those comments and read them to you yesterday, and then we didn't get a lot of time to parse through them. Well, I have them now in their entirety, and I would like to go through them again, okay? So here's what he said. When asked, he was asked if he was interested in returning to college football as a head coach. And he said, quote, "I'm good. I never really took a day off. People, when I say that, they scratch their head. And I'm like, I never took a day off. I had some health stuff go on. I became addicted to sleeping pills. I was just a maniac worker." He mentioned that, you know, he's spending more time with his wife, Shelley, and his four grandchildren. Quote, "So the first year or so was kind of like wake up and like I want to go coach a team, but no desire. So no desire." Later on, he made clear that part of his concerns about making a return to the head coaching ranks in college football are about how it's changed, specifically like NIL and transfer portal. Listen to this. These are important words. Quote, "It's never been harder. I'm telling you right now. Remember those days?" He said, talking about how it used to be. And he mentioned how almost everyone has an agent now, including, you know, the players. He said, "Remember those days? Maybe a coordinator every once in a while had an agent. And there's nothing wrong with agents. They're great. But when I'm the head coach having to deal with a high school player that says, meet with my agent first, I'm going to want to meet with your family because you're talking about recruiting and other stuff." Okay, so that's the comments we got out of that. So I think the last part is important. We didn't have that yesterday when I talked about it. But Urban Meyer is specifically pointing out NIL and transfer portal and all that as part of his reasoning why he says he doesn't want to return to college coaching. And by the way, that would make perfect sense to me. That's why a lot of guys have gotten out of it recently. Let's be real. D'Antonio didn't have a stomach for that. And I don't blame him. Coaching in college is so much worse than coaching in the NFL, because in the NFL, you actually have a defined offseason. In college, there never is, because recruiting never stops. And when it's a recruiting dead period, you still have to recruit, because at all times you're re-recruiting your current players to stay. And then there's, you know, the NIL considerations. Yeah, I get it. But here's the thing. This isn't the first time Urban Meyer has said he's not interested in a job. In fact, he said that many times about Ohio State. The courtship with Ohio State lasted like 2 months. There were 2 months of him on the record saying he wasn't going back to college. And then what do you know? I mean, the last time he denied it was literally a week before he was introduced at that press conference in Columbus. So I don't exactly take what he said 100% at face value. And I don't mean to call the guy a liar, because it's really not that. It's more, I know this dude knows what he's doing. I think he's playing business here very wisely. Now, does he really want to be the Michigan State head coach? I still don't know that. And just because he interviewed here, which has been confirmed by many people, just because he took that interview doesn't mean he's interested in Michigan State. Keep that in mind. I mean, many of us in the real world have gone on job interviews at companies or employers we had no real interest in working at. We either did it for the sake of getting more experience in the interview process, working on our interview skills, or, you know, you do it to try to get an offer so you can drive up, you know, a better offer from your current employer, or you do it to make yourself appear more marketable to others who are hiring. And that's the one I would keep an eye on. I don't know what's really going on here. For all I know, I'm not between the guy's ears, and I'm certainly not connected to him directly or his family or anything like that, or anyone who knows him intimately. But I would think that there's a pretty good chance a lot of what he's doing with Michigan State, the dalliance here, is to sort of send the message to the rest of the jobs that may or may not be open in college football here soon, that Urban Meyer is interested in coming back to work, that he's open for business. Now, which one? I don't know. I've heard a lot of people suggest Texas A&M. It looks like Jimbo is on his last legs. And if he doesn't turn things around drastically, that Texas A&M is going to pay his massive, nearly $80 million buyout to get rid of him. And they have the money to do that and then go spend just as much on the next guy. They do. It's Texas A&M. They got oil money. They're old rich. They got it. It's old money. I don't know if that's a consideration, but I would keep that distinctly in mind. But I also, you know, to be fair, I also don't think that that's what he said yesterday was the definitive end to his potential with Michigan State. Urban Meyer is a smart man. You don't get to be one of the greatest college football coaches of all time without being a smart man. Make no mistake. And I'm not talking about just on a football field or X's and O's or recruitings. The guy knows what he's doing. And he knows what's good for business, and he knows how to conduct business. The bigger thing to me about this whole story, and when I look at it, when I increase my altitude, because it's real easy to look at it just from the Michigan State perspective, but when you increase your altitude, look at this from cruising altitude, 35,000 feet, and what would you say if this was Urban Meyer with, you know, some other job or another big-time coach with some other job? Here's how I would feel. The biggest thing that stands out to me is that Urban Meyer has an open mic for several hours every Saturday morning and afternoon on one of the four premier networks in all of television. He has a microphone and camera on him that reaches millions. He could have squashed the Michigan State thing like that when it all started with Bernie Frado 3 or 4 weeks ago or whatever it was. He could have. They could have, because that story happened on what, like a Wednesday, Tuesday or Wednesday? That Saturday on Big Noon Kickoff, it could have been over and done with. And I would point to something that happened last year as evidence of that, because you might be thinking, well, who's to say he would want to go on air and say that a particular school that's interested in him is not of interest to him? Maybe he doesn't do business that way. That would be demonstrably false, because a year ago, right after Nebraska fired Scott Frost, Big Noon Kickoff was in Lincoln for, I forget the game, even, but they were there. And there were rumors and there was some reporting going on the week leading up that Nebraska was interested in Urban Meyer and that they were back channeling, talking about it, engaging interest. Well, then when Big Noon Kickoff got there that weekend, and you can go look this up, find it on YouTube, Big Noon Kickoff didn't just address that. They didn't just call attention to the rumor milling about Urban to Nebraska. They made fun of it for basically 2 hours. At one point, they brought on a stuffed animal Cornhusker on the set and gave it to Urban Meyer. Like, they made a huge joke out of this thing. They dunked on it and made a huge joke. The very next day, Pete Thamel, you know, one of the top college football reporters out there for ESPN. The very next day, Pete Thamel had a huge story with Urban Meyer in it, talking about how it's not happening. There was no interest. Okay? So a couple of key things to that story is they, on Big Noon Kickoff, you know, the show Urban Meyer is on, they addressed the Nebraska Urban Meyer rumors and story. And more than that, they took cheap shots at it and made fun of it for several hours right when it started. Look how it's gone this year with the Michigan State stuff. Not only have they not mentioned it once on Big Noon Kickoff in the month since it's been a thing. So there have been four big noon kickoffs. So hours, hours of coverage. Not only have they not mentioned it once, there's only been one report about Urban Meyer not being interested in that job. And it was from Bruce Feldman the day after the rumors broke. Ever since then, we've had this. And Big Noon Kickoff hasn't mentioned it once. Why would that be? So, look, I don't know how that show works, and I'm certainly not there. But here's my read of the situation. I might be right, I might be wrong. A year ago, the Nebraska thing was clearly in bounds, and they made several segments out of it. We've had how many weeks of Big Noon Kickoff since this all started, and they haven't even casually mentioned it once. That tells me, and I don't know this, but that tells me Urban Meyer has told them in production meetings, I do not want to talk about this. Do not bring this up on air. This is not in bounds. This is an out of bounds thing. Do not bring this up. That's the only way I can read that. And what really sells me on that having happened is how they treated the Nebraska thing a year ago. Well, then why would he do that? Again, I don't know the guy. I just don't believe he's done. I think he wants to come back. I think he wants to be a college football head coach again. I don't think that's debatable. I know he said he has no interest, and I know he said it again yesterday. He doesn't want to return because it's never been harder, and you know his lifestyle while he was coaching was awful and all that. Okay, I hear that. I just don't believe it. Why would you get on a plane to East Lansing and interview for a job if you're not interested in coming back? And we have confirmation that that happened. Now, you don't do that unless you're thinking about making a jump back into the industry. Has something changed since then? It could have. But then again, why wouldn't he have said that on Big Noon Kickoff when he has an open mic and camera for several hours each week? Yeah, I just, there's something there. There's a there. Now, the bigger question to me is, again, I'll say it. I believe the man wants to be a college football coach again. I am convinced of that. But what I have no real gauge on is if he is even interested in any serious sense of exploring that at Michigan State. Those are two very different things. I'm convinced the guy wants to come back because he was born to do this and he's one of the best ever. And I also have it on good authority. He hates the ending to his story right now as a coach. He doesn't want the end of his legacy to be the disaster at Jacksonville. But even if I didn't have that on good authority, which I do, I would still think he wants to come back. But that's very different from saying he's actually legitimately interested in the Michigan State job. I don't know. And just because he interviewed here doesn't mean he is. Again, ask yourself, have you ever taken an interview with a job you're not interested in? I think most of you will say yes. I've done it many times for a lot of different reasons. I don't think this is quite done yet. It might be with the Michigan State part. Again, I don't know. There's a lot of different ways to read what that meant. Some people think what he said at the Knoxville Quarterback Club yesterday is pretty much him using the media to leverage, him leveraging the media to send out a subtle smoke signal to Matt Ishbia, who is the driving force behind the Urban to Michigan State thing, letting him know, I need a few more zeros on the end of that offer. Okay. Maybe. I don't know that. I could see it. Wouldn't be the first time that's happened. It won't be the last. It wouldn't be the first time it's happened with this guy. That's the thing. Now, I see a lot of people responding to the news yesterday saying, like, why can't people just drop this? He said he's not interested. You've heard it. He said he does not want to return. Why won't you just take that at face value? Well, it's real simple, because he said that before, and a matter of weeks later, in fact, the last time he did it, 1 week later, he was introduced as the head coach of the Ohio State Buckeyes. That's why. And because this is a pretty common practice among this industry. I don't have any more specifics or inside info to lend you guys on this. I see there are people on MSU Twitter still tracking flights between Lansing and Sarasota, which is where one of his houses is. And it seems like that's where he spends most of his time this time of year, is in Sarasota. I don't know about that. Whatever. I don't blame people for looking into it. It's good content and it's interesting. I don't know anything about that. But I'm convinced this guy does want to come back and be a head coach in college football again. The part that's murky to me is it real? Is the interest real in Michigan State? I know for sure, I know for a fact that the biggest benefactors of MSU football very really, in a very real sense, want Urban Meyer to be the next head coach. But that may not be enough, because not only does he have to want to be the coach in a very real way, but there are more boxes to check at Michigan State to make that happen. And that's where my real issue with this whole thing is. I'll tell you, my position has not changed throughout the course of this thing. I just don't believe there's enough institutional buy-in, and certainly not enough institutional harmony or competence to make this happen. Even if Urban Meyer really wants the job, I still don't think it'll happen, because I don't think Michigan State has the collective balls as an institution to reel in the whale. I just don't. I don't think they have what it takes. And what I'm talking about is, specifically, I think there are too many vultures, career opportunists, specifically on the board, but also throughout the executive level of the administration and university, who will sabotage this for political points, if it even ever gets to that level, which I'm not sure it will. If I were in charge, yes, I'd be doing everything I can to get the guy. I've made that abundantly clear. He would be my A number one premium target. I believe he would have the biggest and most visible and positive impact in the quickest way out of anyone else they could hire. Would he win a national championship at Michigan State? I still doubt it, but I think he would have a better chance than virtually anyone else. But that's not even what I'm interested in. I'm just interested in someone who can come in and turn this thing around back into a regular 10-win-per-year program. And I think he could do that out of the gate. I don't know any other coach that I would feel that about, because there isn't one. I would be doing it. I would be going all in, of course. But it's not up to me, is it? It's Offensive Minded. I'm Beanie. This is The Game, 7:30 a.m.
Sure, you could listen to static.
Or you could get the free Game 730 AM mobile app in your app store today and listen longer
without the interruptions from the static.
Listen live to all your favorite moments in sports and hear all the action. The Game 730 AM app also has tons of great restaurant deals for you. It's waiting for you right now in the app store today. The Game 730 AM app is powered by Driven Collision. We make friends by accident. The Michigan State Spartan football team is back for another season on the Lansing Sports Network, the Big Talker 1240 WJIM, and Classic Rock 94.9 MMQ. Never miss another touchdown or tackle again. Stream the game in the free Lansing Sports Network app, powered by Whitelaw PLLC, MSU Healthcare, Schupan and Sons, Gravity Smokehouse, Doubting Industries, and Chandler's Top Shelf.
You should be driving a Kia from Kia of Lansing and Kia of Jackson.
This message goes out to all the great people in the state of Michigan who are looking for a new car and just tired of getting the runaround. Well, at Kia of Lansing and Kia of Jackson, we're going to make it real easy for you. First off, everybody gets $3,000 minimum for their old trade-in. No ifs, ands, or buts. Second off, we have new cars to sell. They're available to test drive and available to buy. And third, we have great interest rates, like a 2023 Kia Soul. Soul or Kia Forte 2.9% APR, because I'm Skip Young and you know I want to see ya in a Kia.
You should be driving a Kia from Kia of Lansing and Kia of Jackson.
Kia of Lansing on South Pennsylvania Avenue and Kia Jackson on Page Avenue across from Menards. Trade offer requires new vehicle purchase. $2,209 per month per 1,000 borrowed for 48 months at 2.9 APR with approved credit. Expires Monday. TheKiaGiants.com.
I can't wait for what's next. Even with higher stroke risk due to atrial fibrillation and a regular heartbeat not caused by a heart valve problem, Eliquis, apixaban tablets, reduces stroke risk. It's the number one cardiologist prescribed blood thinner.
Don't stop taking prescription Eliquis without talking to your doctor, as this may increase your risk of stroke. Eliquis can cause serious and, in rare cases, fatal bleeding. Don't take Eliquis if you have an artificial heart valve, abnormal bleeding, or have antiphospholipid syndrome. While taking, you may bruise more easily or take longer for bleeding to stop. A spinal injection while on Eliquis increases risk of blood clots, which may cause paralysis, the inability to move. Get medical help right away for unexpected bleeding or unusual bruising, or if you have tingling, numbness, or muscle weakness. It may increase your bleeding risk if you take medicines such as aspirin products, NSAIDs, SSRIs, SNRIs, and blood thinners. Tell your doctor about all planned medical or dental procedures. Learn more at Eliquis.com or call 1-855-ELIQUIS.
Venture X from Capital One is the travel card for people always asking,
where next?
You earn 10x miles on hotels and rental cars, and 5x miles on flights booked through Capital One Travel, and 2x miles on everything else you buy with Venture X. Plus, receive premium travel benefits like access to over 1,300 airport lounges. The Venture X card from Capital One. What's in your wallet?
Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.
She's running around. Her breath doesn't smell. Her digestive system is perfect. It has made such a huge difference.
What did this dog parent do for their dog? She switched to Nature's Blend, a premium freeze-dried raw dog food made by Dr. Marty Goldstein, a veterinarian Forbes magazine called the miracle worker. It's the easiest way to support your dog's easy digestion, nourished skin, playful energy, and most importantly, their healthy, full life.
I'm so confident your dog will love it. Your order is backed with a 90-day guarantee.
Save up to 54% off Nature's Blend and get a free full-sized bag of Tilly's Treasures dog treats. They're best-selling beef liver dog treats while supplies last. Go to drmartypets.com/deal or text DEAL to 511-511. Go to drmartypets.com/deal or shop in over 2,000 stores nationwide. Use the store locator to find the store closest to you. All pets are unique. Your pet's results can and will vary. Message and data rates may apply. Studies available upon request.
The Game, 7:30 a.m. Streaming the best and non-stop sports talk now for all of Lansing in the free Game 7:30 a.m. app. Tap in today.
All right, we're wrapping it up. I don't have much time left today, but thanks for being here on Offensive Minded with me, Beanie, on the Game, 7:30 a.m. I'll just wrap it all up, like Sam and Dave are saying here. Put a bow on it. The Urban Meyer thing. I don't know if he's real about Michigan State, but I do believe he's real about returning to college football as a head coach, despite what he says, because, again, he's done that before. Also, there's this. My favorite thing about this is suddenly all the people over the past 3 or 4 weeks have been calling Urban Meyer an outright liar, miscreant, immoral, amoral, SOB scumbag. Now they all think we should take him at his word. Can't write that stuff, man. Until tomorrow, 4 to 6, I'm Beanie. For everyone here at Offensive Minded in the Game, 7:30 a.m. Be safe and be good.